The gospel lesson is found on page 857 in your Bibles. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Then said Jesus to the crowds and to his disciples, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. So practice and observe whatever they tell you, but not what they do. For they preach, but do not practice. They bind heavy burdens hard to bear and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with their finger. They do all their deeds to be seen by men, for they make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long, and they love the place of honor at feasts and the best seats in the synagogues and salutations in the marketplaces and being called rabbi by men. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all brethren. And call no man your father on earth, for you have one father who is in heaven. Neither be called masters, for you have one master, the Christ. He who is greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. Heavenly Father, we are grateful that we can come together to worship you this morning. Father, as we come, we do so with all kinds of things going on in our lives. We bring all of that before you today, asking that you would speak to us through your word, that we would know your presence with us this morning, your power at work in us at all times. Father, remind us of those things that we might be equipped to serve you faithfully in everything that we do. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Well, I doubt seriously that you heard anything said on the morning news reporting that today is the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. That probably was not on Good Morning America today, was it? No one heard? Okay. On more than one occasion, we have heard descriptions of how the early Christians faced frequent and severe persecution. Just in the past couple of weeks, we've heard about Paul and his missionary team being run out of town when they first went to Thessalonica. We may not be as familiar with the kinds of things Christians are going through today. I've read more than once the surprising fact that more Christians were killed for their faith in the 20th century than in the previous 19 centuries combined. Did you hear that? More Christians were killed because of their faith in the 20th century than the previous 19 centuries combined. If you're like me, you're thinking, that can't be right. Well, I've checked it through several different sources, and I'm sad to say it is true. Christians today are being killed because of their faith in Jesus Christ. And others still are losing their jobs and their property, being separated from their families and being thrown in prison. Those are just examples of some of the overt persecution that's going on. We can respond to all of this in several ways. Denial is quick and easy, but that is just ignoring the facts. Blame is another option, thinking the worst of those Christians, that they must have done something sinister to deserve such treatment. Anger is a possibility as we rail against the abuses of essentially pagan cultures. Another option is direct action as we travel to where such things are happening in order to attempt to rescue those being persecuted. Those responses are probably, well, either unacceptable or unrealistic for most of us here this morning. But there are other options available to each and all of us. We can pray for those enduring the persecution and their families out of loving concern for our brothers and sisters in Christ, whether they are known to us or unknown. And as the Lord leads us, we can seek to support the efforts of those ministries directly involved in helping those believers in various ways. Ministries such as the Barnabas Fund, Voice of the Martyrs, International Justice Mission. Those are just a few examples. Our motivation, of course, flows from our love for our Lord and the correlating love we have for our Lord's family. That is the facet of our faith we have been discussing the past couple of weeks, concentrating on the lessons from the Apostle Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians. We have observed some of the characteristics of this love, that it involves thankful hearts, it involves faithful affection. And today's lesson gives us the example of purposeful devotion. We're on page 1029 in the Pew Bibles, if you want to follow along. Paul, Silas, and Timothy had lived their love for the Thessalonians in very tangible ways. It wasn't just at arm's length, but up close and personal. Neither was it vague or abstract, but it was deliberate and purposeful. And that purposeful devotion helped to prepare the Thessalonians for the persecution they would come to face. How do we see that? Well, for starters, we hear about the difficult labor in which Paul, Silas, and Timothy engaged. Why? For the purpose of sharing the gospel with the Thessalonians. In verse 9, Paul writes, "For you recall, brethren, our labor and hardship, how working night and day, so as not to be a burden to any of you, we proclaim to you the gospel of God." You hear the words? Labor, hardship, working night and day. What is he describing? Probably, in part, that they worked during the day, earning enough during the day to support themselves while spending evenings in ministry. Why would they do that? He explains. To carry the word of God to them so the Thessalonians would come to faith in Jesus. Sound familiar? I hope so. We touched on this last week. Paul, Silas, and Timothy were not motivated by greed, looking to make themselves rich at the expense of the Thessalonians. They came to share the riches of Christ with them so the Thessalonians would come to know eternal life through faith in Jesus. Paul, Silas, and Timothy busted themselves to make that possible. Well, we are continuing to learn how to weave our witness to Christ into all we do around here. With each step of progress, we are finding new horizons of opportunities, and that's great. But we have to admit to focus on going out to people is typically an even bigger learning curve for us as Episcopalians. Yes, it takes effort to take the gospel into the world. But you know, think about it. We are not necessarily afraid of effort around here. I mean, just look at all the effort that went into the bazaar. And what a good reason to do it in support of Samaritan's Purse and their hurricane relief efforts. Folks, investing that kind of labor, hardship, and effort in sharing the good news of Jesus to those who do not yet know it carries an even bigger reward. The salvation of lost souls. Paul goes on in today's lesson. We also hear about the purity of heart Paul, Silas, and Timothy demonstrated in their ministry with the Thessalonians. Continuing in verse 10, Paul writes, "You are witnesses, and so is God, how devoutly and uprightly and blamelessly we behave toward you believers. Just as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each one of you as a father would his own children, so that you would walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory." What's Paul saying? He's saying there were no significant flaws in their motivation or in their manner of ministry. Their purity of heart was evident in their devotion to the Thessalonians and manner of life with them. But we also hear how they poured their hearts into their ministry, exhorting encouraging and imploring the Thessalonians who embraced Jesus Christ as Savior to follow him as Lord. The purpose was to help them learn how to live out their new life in Christ. Paul put it this way, in a manner worthy of the God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. Paul and the others walked with them through that process of learning how to walk, much as a parent helps their child take those first steps. Well, how does this speak to us? The challenge for us is to recognize the significance of our personal integrity and our personal involvement in relationships with others. Not so much because we run around telling people how good we are. That's not what I'm talking about. That's not what Paul's talking about. But because we are willing to become involved in people's lives at a depth that allows them to see for themselves how we have been both forgiven and changed by God. We do that with each other by sharing our lives with honesty and openness. Not pretending to be perfect. Not excusing laziness about holiness. But building up and encouraging each other by staying grounded in God's word and our fellowship in Christ. In that sense, our walk with the Lord is a team effort. Well, this morning we also hear more about the genuine gratitude Paul, Silas, and Timothy had because of the growth and progress of the Thessalonian Christians. Verse 13, he writes, "For this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe." The Thessalonians had received God's word. They had believed God's word, and they were being transformed by God's word. It wasn't that Paul and company rode into town and hit them over their heads. You've heard the expression, hitting someone. You imagine using a Bible like this to hit somebody over the head. That could cause some damage. That's not what they're talking about here, is it? There was an ongoing internal work of transformation God was doing, which was so real and so significant that the results were becoming evident to all observers. All could see the Lord's transforming work in their lives, which led Paul, Silas, and Timothy to constantly thank God. When we are used by the Lord in the life of another person, we recognize it's a huge privilege. When we see that come to fruition, we recognize it to be something way beyond our personal capacity to accomplish. It is evidence of the Lord's transforming work, which leads us to give him thanks and praise. There's no question for us to take to heart what we've been hearing the past few weeks about loving our Lord's family involves both risk and reward. When we pour our lives into the lives of others in the name of Christ, we will have to risk rejection and vulnerability. They may tell us to get lost. They may call us weird religious nuts. They may do even worse, as so many Christians have known. And yet, when we pour our lives into the lives of others in the name of Christ, we have the potential reward of seeing others receive salvation to eternal life and find that we have gained more family. We will see them learn the joyful laughter of the redeemed. We will see God's power at work in changing their lives just as he is changing our lives. We will see the family of faith grow stronger. And we will be more emboldened for faithful service to our Lord, all for his glory, which is the reason for our purposeful devotion. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, it is mind-boggling to us that you would bother yourself to use people like us when we feel that way. Help us recognize where it's coming from. That kind of feeling and thought comes from that notion that it's all up to us. But Father, you remind us this morning, it is not all up to us. Yes, you use us as your people, as instruments to accomplish your purposes. But Father, it is your power at work. A power at work in us and a power at work through us. Let us be faithful servants for your sake, that all may see your glory. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.